This Fab FM podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mossman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street Mossman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
What will you bring to the Douglas Shire Council if you are elected?
Paul, as you probably know, I'm a Sydney boy, and I've had an illustrious career in the Army for 20-odd years, starting off as a basic engineer and went on to serve throughout Australia. As I progressed in my military career, I took on other positions. One really top position was the admin finance manager with the Department of Works in New Guinea. At that stage, I was a warrant officer class one. And again, I was pretty young still. I was only 34 at that stage. I was responsible for a budget of $28 million up there. So, you know, I bring that to the table for a start. Strong financial and administration management. I got out of the Army in 94. I was 37. What was I supposed to do for the next 18 odd years in the Army? I couldn't go any further because, as you probably know, warrant officer class one is the highest you can go as a soldier before you become an officer. And unfortunately, I didn't quite make the officer selection criteria, so hence it was time to get out and start a new career. I got out of the Army and I wanted to get into golf club management, which I was fortunate enough to do. So I managed golf clubs in Sydney and on the Sunshine Coast, and after a period of time, I ended up here at the Tin Shed. I've been here 9 years, and it's been a great experience and a great journey coming from, in those days, it was a tin shed. It had the deck on the end, but it was still a tin shed at the front. So, you know, again, good financial management, good business acumen, and with the support of a good board, we've got the tin shed to where it is today and hopefully be in a position to do our final construction in the near future. I think council's no different to what I do at the moment. The decisions I make are in the best interest of the members. That would be the same approaching council. The decisions that should be made should be in the best interest of the ratepayers and residents of the Shire. You know, it's still a business, whether you like it or not. So, you know, it gets back down to, you know, it's got to be financially sound, any decision made. So it's more, I ask myself the question, if I owned this business, would I take those decisions or make those decisions? I think the same with council. You know, it's got to make a decision based on what you believe is in the best interest of all parties. And if it was your business, would you make that decision? And I feel that's the important aspect between what I currently do and what I believe I should do as a councillor. Look, I come across a bit what would be the word, a bit hard, but deep down I'm not. Once you get to know me, I'm a genuine guy. I'm at times pig-headed, but because I think I've got to be at times, depending on what's going on. And at the end of the day, I back myself in the decisions I make. Passionate in everything I do. Hence, that's why over 20 years in the Army, I progressed fairly quickly in the ranks and got to warrant officer class one. I'm passionate to do what I've done here in Port Douglas. I don't feel that what's been happening over the last 6 years has been in the best interests of the Shire. I think, again, I've said it before and I'll continue to say it, it's been a push by a small vocal minority and their ideas and their wishes have been granted, which is not the way we should be doing things. It's got to go back to basics. You know, I'm not 100% sure. We hear both sides of the story in regards to the financial position and all these statistics and all these facts. You know, until such times I'm in a position to be able to make decisions based on where the council is, it's very hard to say something about it now. But, you know, one side says this and the other side says this. What figures and what statistics are correct, I'm yet to find out.
Kim Rowley, what will be your main focus on council if elected?
I think I'm most like all the new candidates, over major concerns in the lack of transparency that has been shown by our current council. When you look at the decisions that have been made recently regarding Qantas, the land purchase and the lagoon pool, they seem to make these decisions with very little thought and absolutely no consultation with the ratepayers. I know we elect our mayor and councillors to make these important decisions, which I totally support. However, matters such as these have proved to be not only costly but lacking specifics. I feel community consultation should have taken place at the very least. I've been very vocal in regarding the purchase of the land, as you know, and the reason for this is that we were led to believe that it was going to be used for council's carbon offset. Now we have the mayor telling us that a committee will be formed in the coming months to see the way forward, to see what the way forward is to be for this block of land. This should have been a consideration at the very beginning. You know, businesses are suffering across the Shire. We need to do what we can to help business, thereby creating employment opportunities, keeping our youth here in the Shire and not heading south to find work. Mossman and the Daintree really need help. We need to talk to the locals, get their thoughts on a way forward. We're not attracting tourists, and many people really rely directly or indirectly on tourism for income. Across the river is concerned. Everything, all those decisions are being made is south of the river. You know, I keep going back to this small group of individuals who seem to be pushing their agenda for the north of the river. You know, the microgrid, at the end of the day, you know, it's 2020, everyone's entitled to power. So, you know, I support the microgrid at the end of, if it means you don't want to be connected, don't connect. But certainly, you know, those people who do really need the support of us. There's all these things that could be happening over there. Again, environmental issues we must consider, but I'm not saying let's open it up and let's put a two-lane highway up there. But all these businesses are suffering. And I really believe we're too focused on this ecotourism and not what we've got. We've got the reef, we've got the rainforest. Why not sell it as that? As far as the development concerned within the Shire, look, again, I speak on from an experience point of view. When we first put in our development application, we were under Cairns Council. And when you look at the reasoning behind the approval the Cairns Council did, when we put in our second DA here, it was quite the opposite. Their approach was barriers at every mark. It took 2.5 years to get this DA approved. You know, so how do developments such as the marina? I go back to the retirement village on Ferrero Road. You know, to me that just had all the signs of a good decision to be made. When council throws it back to say, you know, a developer's going to make money, or, you know, unfortunately that's part of the business, that developers make money. But when you look at the benefits to the Shire, to council collecting rates, so there's income streams there, it creates jobs, it creates businesses. You know, to me it just made sense to go further with consideration. I look from the outside in. I think too many people look from the inside who have been here too long. I think you need to look at, you know, have we got what people are looking for these days? To me, Macrossan Street's probably high on the agenda of an upgrade. And these are the policies that should be looked at. So long term, what are we going to do with Macrossan Street? What are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? Because the town is old and tired. You know, given the opportunities, you know, we don't want people staying in Cairns and day tripping up here. We want them staying here. As far as Mossman is concerned, there's opportunities there. You know, that many people drive through Mossman to go to the Daintree. You know, that would make a good place to have a heritage centre. Showing people everything from the reef to cane fields, all these things that have been going on in the Shire for many, many years. Plenty to do.
And finally, Kim Rowley, your soapbox pitch. Why should they elect you?
Look, Paul, at the end of the day, if the voters are happy what's been happening within the Shire, being no transparency, lack of improvements of basic services such as water, roads and paths, no consultation, wasteful spending, ever-increasing rates, and more importantly, council being led by a small vocal association. I say vote for the current incumbents, if that's what you're going to continue to get. But however, if you want a more back-to-basics approachable person who is transparent, consultative and not afraid to make well-balanced decisions in the interests of all, and someone who wants to be part of a new team, then I'm that person. Certainly other candidates have mentioned things like review of rates, funding from tourism and all those other things. But, you know, I think we need to look at an investigative feasibility study whether we can have a subsidised bus link between Port Douglas, Mossman, Kuya, Wonga. Again, I think that would, you know, the opportunity for people to go out for dinner or go shopping over at Mossman from Port Douglas. So there's the opportunities there to invigorate the Shire a little bit more. As I said, we need to look at short-term strategies and long-term strategies in regards to upgrades and what needs to be done around the Shire. And certainly we need to review the town plan. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying let's rip it up and get these high-rise along the Esplanade. But I think they've got to be a little bit more flexible in certain areas to give council the opportunity to have a balanced decision on what needs to be done without impacting on our environment. I certainly will be asking for a review of the land purchase and the lagoon pools. I believe there's more to it than what we know, and I certainly believe we should look at that and certainly let the ratepayers and the residents know all the facts pertaining to those two items. If council, before going out to us with the lagoon pool, just did some basic investigation, they would have realised that besides getting funding to construct the pool, I've heard a figure of $2 million per year just for the upkeep, the maintenance of that pool. Now, even if you halve that to $1 million, there's $1 million that's got to come out of the budget, which the ratepayers pay for, just to upkeep that pool. Again, if that was put forward straight away, would they have gone out with that lovely picture of lagoon pool? You know, there's more to it than that. You know, they say we're going to get funding to do an investigation whether it's feasible. Well, wait a minute. Yes, they are, but they've already either spent or budgeted for $100,000 of taxpayers' money to get where they are today. It was interesting reading the Gazette last Thursday, and it was interesting having a look at the mayor's full-page advertisement why she should be re-elected. You know, there's all these promises of what she's going to do in the coming years. You know, I question, she's had 6 years to do these things. Why all of a sudden are we going to be transparent and consultative and look at water and everything else? You know, at the end of the day, that should have been done. It's no good promising to do these things now. Vote one, Kim Rowley. I hope to be part of a new team, and that's what we need in council to go forward.